This morning's message comes to us is written by Dr. Rast, who is the president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He wrote not only the message for this morning, but put together the order of service for LWML Sunday this year. So it's pretty good. So let's hear it. Be ready to confess Jesus. 2017 is really a rather amazing year. First off, of course, it is the 500th anniversary of Luther's posting of the 95 Theses. The whole world is paying attention to Luther this year. In fact, it seems like 2017 is all Luther all the time, 24/7, 365 days. This is a big deal. But there's even more to 2017. This year also marks the 75th anniversary of the Lutherans Women Missionary League, or our LWML, which has done so much to encourage and support the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and among partners and friends throughout the world. So yes, this is a big deal. In the half millennium since the Reformation began, and the 75 years since the LWML formally organized itself, confessing the faith has not gotten any easier. In fact, it may be even more difficult for us to speak and live as Christians today. And who knows what the future might hold for us, for our children, for our grandchildren. Yet God is faithful and has promised that His church will survive all the challenges that the devil, the world, and even our own sinful flesh can throw at us. Building on God's promises, we know that this is our time to be distinctly, well, Lutheran, as confessing Lutherans in a rapidly changing world and an increasingly hostile culture. We need to be ready to confess. We need to be ready to confess the gospel of Christ in a world that desperately needs to hear it. Confessing Christ is central to our identity as Christians. To be proclaimers of the message of salvation is central to the identity of Christ's people. St. Paul writes, he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. 2 Timothy, 4th chapter. When St. Paul wrote these words to young Timothy, he did so as one writing to a fellow pastor, a man specifically called to carry out the office of the public ministry. And he did so also knowing full well the challenges that faced preachers of the gospel in the setting of the early church. But he did so also knowing that Timothy had come to the faith through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit working through faithful teachers, well, faithful teachers of a committed mother, a committed grandmother. St. Paul says in the first chapter, 2 Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. The good news of the gospel is given to each of us to share with those whom God places in our sphere of influence, regardless of our station in life, regardless of what we do out in the world. Proclaiming the salvation won by Jesus is not just the guy who wears this. It's not just the pastor's job. Every single one of us is called to be ready to confess Christ as God, ready to confess Christ every time God opens the doors for us to do so in our lives. You are called as individuals to be ready to confess Christ. The need for sharing Christ is as pronounced today as it's ever been. While it is true that somewhere around 90%, I was a little surprised when I read that, somewhere around 90% of Americans claim that they believe in God, whatever that looks like. But their understanding of the one true God, it's often less than biblical. Instead, it originates here or out there somewhere, but does it originate in the Bible? Add that to the fact that upwards of 60% of evangelical Christians, and when I say evangelical Christians, that actually includes the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So 60% of evangelical Christians think that there may be other ways to salvation outside of faith in Jesus Christ. That baffles the mind. The need to be ready to confess the message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone, is most definitely, without a doubt, as pressing today as it ever was. Add to that St. Paul's realistic assessment of where people were at his time, 2,000 years ago. He continues to Timothy. He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers that suit their own passions, and they'll turn away from listening to the truth. They'll wander off into myths." I don't know about to you, but to me, that sounds an awful lot like not necessarily a commentary on the first century, but a commentary on 2017. 500 years ago, Luther was ready to confess. 2017, 1517. The setting in which God called Martin Luther to confess Christ was easily as confused and problematic as our own setting today. Worship of saints had intruded on the worship of Christ. Works were preached as necessary to salvation, in addition to the faith in Christ, put on top of purgatory, images, relics, all kinds of other aberrations, had obscured the gospel of salvation in Christ alone. This context, of course, led to the unique character of the Lutheran Reformation. For Luther, as he read the New Testament, and particularly read Paul's epistle to the Romans, was confronted by the question of righteousness. What does it mean to be right, to be righteous in the eyes of God? And the Scriptures were very clear to him. Simple. To be righteous in the eyes of God, you had to keep God's law perfectly. However, Luther knew that he did not keep God's law perfectly. He knew that he did not keep God's law even close to sufficiently. He had tried to make things right. He went and decided to be a priest. And He goes to his father confessor, and repeatedly he confesses his sins. He dredges up every thought, word, and deed from a lifetime of sin, and he confesses it individually. And he was conditionally absolved. And then he went out and he did good works as a satisfaction. But as he worked, as he was going about doing these works of satisfaction, he would remember, I forgot. There was something else. There was something else that I've done, and I forgot to sin. I forgot to confess this other sin. His mind would recall other things that he had done, and he realized that his confession of sin was insufficient. It was always insufficient. And that meant that, well, his works, therefore, were also not going to be enough. Finally, his priest confronted him, said, "Luther, it's not God that hates you. it's you that hate God. The dam finally broke when Luther understood through the scripture that the righteousness of God is not about us being good enough. The righteousness of God is about Christ, who is perfect, about Christ, who is good enough. Christ, the God-man, who completed salvation both for Luther and for you, for me, for all of his children. He completed salvation perfectly once for all. There is a what Luther coined this phrase, the great exchange that occurs. The filthy rags of our sinfulness and rebellion towards God, Jesus took these upon himself. He carried them to the cross and crucified it once for all. And the perfect righteousness that was his, he now clothes us in. And through the waters of holy baptism, where before there was a sinner, God now sees instead this perfectly redeemed child through Christ, where before the person was far from God, there is now a child of God. God's work for us, well, it's in us. It's for us. It is applied to us freely and completely, totally due to Christ. God calls on us to be ready to confess this gospel. This, the biblical gospel, is what we must be ready at all times to confess. Luther didn't see all of this clearly instantly in 1517. It took a little time. It took a few years for him to work out all the scriptural implications of the gospel. But once he did, he was ready to confess. And he continued to do so until the end of his life in 1546. That poses a question for us. How do we, like Luther, prepare ourselves to be ready to confess? Today, in particular, we've already noted, we want to recall the words of the Lutherans Women's Missionary League, which is celebrating its diamond anniversary this year, 75 years. The LWML has had a marvelous impact on the mission efforts of the congregations, of the districts, of the seminaries, and all the other entities of the Synod. And it's always done so by carrying out faithfully its mission. And that is to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. Let me read that again. To assist each of the women of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the triune God so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. There's never a perfect time to start a movement like that. There's never a perfect time to start an organization like the LWML. But maybe we could have chosen a time with a few fewer challenges than when the LWML was established in 1942. The world had been at war for 3 years. The United States had just joined the war effort in 1941, though. Rations were short. Many young and even older men were either off already fighting or preparing to fight overseas. Women were now entering the workforce to fill the vacancies left behind by these new soldiers. The circumstances were challenging, to say the least. And yet, on July 7th and 8th, 1942, over 100 women, among them 28 formal delegates, met in Chicago and established the LWML. Its purpose was to encourage a greater consciousness among women for missionary education, for missionary inspiration, and also for missionary service. It also decided to gather funds for mission projects above and beyond the normal synod budget. From this humble beginning and through the use of the now familiar, what are these? Mite boxes. Remember we call them that because the widow's mite, we give out of what God has given us to his mission, and he makes it enough. Through the efforts of things like these mite boxes, the League has blessed the mission efforts of congregations, district, and synod in amazing and powerful ways. One of the ways I personally, this is not part of Dr. Rath's sermon, but one of the ways that I was able to go to seminary was a grant from a chapter in the LWML. They affect it in all kinds of ways. But there's always more. As LWML historian Marlis Teague Moberg has captured, she says, "The blessing of the LWML, now also known as Lutheran Women in Mission, goes far beyond the millions raised for missions. Its benefits can be seen in faith deepened by through Bible studies, in confidence built through leadership training, in the befriending of career missionaries, in blankets and clothing gathered for the impoverished, in food shared with the hungry, and above all, in the friendships nurtured and the lives changed by sharing the love of Jesus Christ." Time marches on. We know this. We know that well. And it seems that as we age, it marches double quick, double time, right? The Lutheran confession has always struggled against the intrusion of false teachings. But the Lord has been faithful, and he's raised up faithful pastors like Timothy, like Paul, who have preached the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. And the Lord has gathered faithful men, women, and even as we saw just a moment ago, children who have carried out the work of the Lord with zeal and devotion, meeting the challenges and opportunities to reach out to those who need to hear the gospel. Simply put, our faithful God keeps his promises. And we pray this Sunday and always that he will always enable us to be ready to confess the truth of the gospel. Amen.